I'm exercising today what's called the preacher's prerogative. You heard that gospel? Not preaching on it. These three different people say to Jesus, "We'll follow you," and he basically does everything he can in his power to send them away. So we'll get to that later. But instead, we have in our second reading today the central words of the Christian faith for us from Paul. The central message of what it's like to live the Christian life in our time. Paul says, Galatians 5:1, "For freedom Christ has set you free. So do not go back to slavery again." Now, the slavery Paul was talking about was not a literal slavery with chains and whips and all that. But rather, what he was getting at was an attempt by some of the very early followers of Jesus to turn following him into a series of rules and requirements. See, what Paul is saying is, look, you have already been set free in Christ. There is nothing you need to do to be right with God. It's already been done. We have already been saved and set free. Here's the difficulty. Most of the early followers of Jesus were Jewish. You know, Jesus was a Jew. He was the Messiah for the Jews. His earlier followers were also Jewish. And for most Jews, being Jewish meant obeying the religious laws they had. 613 of them, to be precise. Okay? And the 613 laws covered everything from what to eat, where to eat it, how to eat it, what to wear, who you can eat it with, how to cut your hair, and all kinds of other things you can never imagine. The early followers of Jesus assumed that it was just another way of being Jewish. The problem showed up when Gentiles, non-Jews, began to follow Jesus, and Paul worked among the Gentiles. So the rift was, the Jewish Christians were saying to the Gentiles, if you want to be a Christian, that's great. Welcome to the club. But in order to be a Christian, first you need to be a Jew. And that means following all 613 laws. Well, Paul just blew a gasket over that one. It's what the whole book of Galatians is about. Paul said we are no longer required to follow religious laws and requirements because we have been set free. Nothing is required. That is the slavery Paul was referring to. If following Jesus meant going back to fulfilling religious laws, then we're not free. We have effectively chosen another form of slavery. Now, the rub was, following Jewish religious law effectively meant that what Jesus did on the cross was not enough. That somehow we had to do something more. That Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough, so that if we follow the rules, we could be what? Maybe more saved? More free? More redeemed? That's the problem with that thinking. And it all boils down to not really trusting God to keep promises. We've been set free. But what if we don't know what to do with our freedom? See, there's part of us that wants to know the rules. We will say, Jesus, just tell me what I have to do. So when that part of us hears words like these from Jesus today, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Let the dead bury the dead. Don't go back home to say goodbye. We might say, yeah, thanks a lot, Jesus. That's a little unclear, a little cryptic. Can you tell me what I have to do? There's an appeal to having rules. That way, we don't have to figure it out. We just stay inside the lines. It's simple, but it can also easily become an external thing that lets us just go through the motions without our heads and hearts really being in it. See, following religious rules and requirements, it appeals to our pride, leading us to believe that on our own we can do the right thing, we can be good enough, we can make the right choices, all by ourselves. Do you hear the emphasis? All by ourselves. Because deep down in our socks, part of us wants to believe that this whole religion and faith thing is ultimately up us. I need to believe the right things. I need to do the right things. And I'll be good enough to avoid God's punishment. See where that takes us? It assumes that God's main desire is to punish us for everything we do wrong. But that's not the God I know from this book. See, the question is whether we are going to live in a relationship with God to experience that love more deeply, or if we will pretend that our faith is all about us and compartmentalize rules that look good, going through the motions without it ever touching our hearts. Now, of course, the other side of the question is probably predictable, right? If nothing is required, there are some who take this to mean, well, we're completely free. I can do whatever I want to, regardless of who it impacts, whatever it is. It's a free-for-all. Do whatever you want without ever worrying about the consequences, because after all, we have God's promise of forgiveness. That kind of thinking has its own name. It's called cheap grace. The sense that we can do whatever we want, even when we know what's wrong, and then come back to God demanding forgiveness because God promised it. What an insult. I think that might be what Paul was referring to when he described not using their freedom as an opportunity for the flesh and fighting with each other and so on. Instead, Paul implores them to walk by the Spirit in a path marked by love, joy, peace, kindness, self-control, and so on. So where we can get trapped and torn is when we get stuck in false polarities, where we assume that it's all one thing or all another. Either we have to follow all 613 laws, or we don't need to do a thing. But don't worry, Paul helps us with this. He says there is a law we should follow, the law of love. Love God by loving others. Hope you're not sick of hearing it yet, but one of my favorite Bible verses comes from 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Whoever loves knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. So, love one another, because God is love. Suddenly it's not so simple, is it? Suddenly there's not just a checklist of things we have to do to meet the minimum requirement. If we try to live by the rule of love, then it's hard to just go through the motions. It's hard to compartmentalize it into some kind of religious things we do just to placate God. See, freedom is hard. Freedom is hard because we need to figure out a lot of things on our own. Jesus said we are forgiven and we are set free. But he also said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. If you have two coats, give one to somebody who has none. Share your food with the hungry. See, following Jesus means living in gratitude for what God has done for us in Christ. It means a lot of cross-carrying, sacrificing ourselves, our convenience, our time, sacrificing those things we hold most dear in order to show our love, God's love in us. Because you see, when we love, when we intentionally and aggressively love, something happens. We're changed. When we love, our hearts grow a little bit. When we become generous with our love of others, when we more willingly give of ourselves, when we find out then that we have more room in us because we are less full of ourselves and the shadow of our things. There's more room in us for Christ to live in us. That's how freedom works. That's what Jesus has made room for in us. Now, of course, there's part of us that are going to want to go back to Egypt. You remember that story, right? God's people were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. For 400 years, they are clamoring to God to be set free. And finally, Moses came, led them out of slavery. And the Bible tells us after 400 years of slavery, they were free. And it wasn't even 6 months they were free. And they came after Moses saying, we want to go back to Egypt. And Moses said, what? You were slaves for 400 years. Why would you want to go back there? They beat you. They killed your male children every 3 years. Why would you want to go back? And they said, Moses, there's nothing here but sand. Back in Egypt, we had melons and leeks and water. And then comes my favorite line in this whole story. He said to Moses, what's the matter, Moses? Weren't there enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? They were willing to trade in their freedom for food and water. The Galatians were willing to trade in their freedom for religious rules. What are we tempted to trade in our freedom for? We keep our freedom by using it. We remain free by living free, by choosing to do the hard thing, by choosing to take the high road, by daring to love the unlovable, by daring to forgive those who choose to hurt us, by sharing food with those who we think may not even deserve it. If we do not use our freedom, it might atrophy. We might forget we are free, or we may not even know the difference between freedom and slavery. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Don't go back to slavery again. Instead, walk by the Spirit. Live to love. Know your freedom.